Unlock the past and safeguard your memories with scanmyphotos.com. Here's our special promo code, GODIGITAL, to get a whopping up to 50% off your photo scanning order. Don't let your cherished moments fade away. Digitize them now with precision and care. Whether it's old slides, photos, or films, bring them into the digital age and relive those precious memories. This is an affiliate promotion, meaning we may earn a commission if you take advantage of this fantastic deal. Act fast, preserve your history, and save big with Go Digital at scanmyphotos.com. Hi, I'm Maureen Taylor, the photo detective. I really love family photographs, all of them, from the mystery images you find in shoeboxes and albums to the pictures you snap with your digital devices. No mystery is too small. A simple question about an image can lead to new stories of your ancestors. This means you can count on me to help you identify the people in them, offer solutions for preserving and organizing them, and yes, even guide you in the various ways to gather and share picture stories with your relatives. Hi, everyone. It's Maureen Taylor, and it is time for my monthly Q&A with all of you. I have several questions. I don't know if you have a pandemic hobby that you've been doing, but I have learned a lot about my little state. I do an itinerary of each and every community, of all the places we're going to visit. And then my husband and I go out in a car. We have found abandoned town foundations. We have found, I can't even tell you how many Mill Falls. I love Mill Falls. And I think we found them all now, but then I always say that. And every week we go out and we find something else that we missed. And sometimes we've done some towns twice. And the reason I do that is because I have a lot of Rhode Island ancestry and I haven't explored the state as much as I probably should. And I really wanted to get a sense of where my ancestors lived to understand more completely what their lives were like. And since change is slow in many places here, I am still able to see those places. Of course, I have the worst research luck ever, which is whenever I find an address on a document, the first thing I do is put it in Google Maps. And I can tell you that I am batting 1,000 when I say that pretty much every single place my ancestors has lived has been knocked down. The house. Carol asked a question this week through email, and she said, when scanning cabinet cards, do I scan the entire image with the photographer's imprint, or do I just scan the photograph itself? So I do, or the image area itself, I just scan the whole card because then I have the photographer information, both the information to research that photographer, and I also scan the back. So I make it A and B, B being always the flip side. Now, if I have memory web, which I do, I can link the front and the back. So they'll always be together in my file. And let's see. And she wanted to know if I made a second scan of just the photo itself. No, but I might make a copy of it. I might save another version of it and then just crop that version, but leave the full version for everyone to look at. And then she asked if she can ask a second question. And the answer to that is yes. You can ask as many questions as you like. I never get tired of listening to questions because I used to be a reference librarian a long time ago. And that was what I did every day. And I loved my job. Not as much as I like being the photo detective, but I did like sitting behind the desk and asking all kinds of random questions that would come in. She also asked, I have a picture of my great-grandmother, 1829 to 1901, and she is elderly in the photograph. And to Carol's surprise, she was wearing small hoop earrings, and she wanted to know about pierced ears. Were they common or not? And yes, the answer to that is yes. In the 19th century, pierced ears were very common. And she followed that up with a question of, but they weren't very common in the early 20th century. And I said, yep, that's right. They went, it's one of those fashions that sort of goes out of fashion and then comes back. So when, you know, they came back in like the 1960s, maybe 1970s, everybody was piercing their ears. In the 19th century, it was very common for most women to have pierced ears. And you can often spot little earrings, and the different earring styles vary by decade. There were lots of different fashions. I know in the 1870s, for instance, we have this fabulous photograph of my husband's great-great-grandmother. And it's her wedding picture, it turns out. And in the picture, she's posed with all this big hair, but she also has these huge drop earrings, which my sister-in-law has, which are great. And they were pierced ears. But in the 20th century, that sort of falls out of favor because clip earrings really become quite popular. It depends, of course, on ethnicity as well, because pierced earrings remain popular in some areas of the world. They just sort of wax and wane here in the United States. Brett has actually a question right here for me on the Facebook Live. Is there a good place to look up the photographers and studios to see when they were in business to narrow the date? So here's the thing, Brett. The first thing you should do is Google every name of that photographer, all those photographer names, because you don't know if a museum has more of a collection and they might even have a finding aid with more information, or if there's some other link that you might find. Somebody might have written about those photographers on their blog, for instance. So I would start with that. And then I treat photographers as members of my family, and I research them that way. I use all the same databases that we use to research our families. I use those to research photographers. Census records and city directories are great. MyHeritage has a great way of looking at city directories where you can click a little button and it says people at the same address, which has helped me link different surnamed relatives all living in the same household without doing a whole lot of searching. Frederick asks, if displayed, do tintypes, amber types fade due to exposure to light? I do not believe tintypes fade. It is a collodion process, and so are amber types that they're on glass. The bigger issue with the sunlight is the heat that it causes, and it can even cause some condensation, especially in a framed amber type. Let's see, what do we got? As somebody asked me, does MyHeritage own my photos when I upload them? And the answer to that is absolutely not. There's lots of scary copyright language in their terms and agreements, but they are your photographs. They are uploaded to your family tree. If you wanted to try all of those photo tools that they have, you can do that. And then you can just take those images down if you're not comfortable with it. But they do not own them. You own them. They're your photos. I'm embarrassed. I'm like deeply, deeply embarrassed to tell you this. But I went in a closet on our third floor and found this box of stuff of mine from my life before kids and before husband. And I thought I'd gone through all that stuff, but obviously I haven't. And in the box, I found my entire previous life before kids and marriage documented in photographs, things that I took when I was in school, which I can't wait to share on our Facebook page for our class. People have been doing that, and it's a lot of fun to reminisce and tell stories. But then I pulled out this little envelope, and in the envelope were four photographs. It's my paternal grandfather. I know that pretty well because he has the Taylor eyebrows, which we all have. And I'm embarrassed to say that I have this photograph and I don't know very much about it. I'm not sure who the woman is. I have this really vague recollection that it's my grandfather's, one of his sisters. And I even have a name associated with that. But I'm looking for confirmation. I'm reaching out to DNA matches and family tree people and everyone I can think of that might be able to identify that woman. We have one right here in the live from Karen Cruz, my great grandmother in a professional photo with her husband and oldest child has rings on her left middle finger. Was that common in 1910 or were the wedding rings too big and not sized, or a statement of the rocky marriage? Ooh, Karen, I would love to know what you think about that rocky marriage and why you think that's a clue. That's just that's just really interesting. I see a lot of pictures of people wearing rings on other fingers other than the ring finger. They look like big rings, and I don't know if that was just the style, or because it's different time periods, or if maybe they're wearing like their father's ring if he's deceased. Is it too big and not sized? Possibly, but there were jewelers, they could go and get it sized. But it is quite common to see rings on multiple fingers, not just the ring finger. Cocktail rings, they're not really cocktail rings, they're more fashion rings. You know, young women often wear, or for a while it was the style to wear multiple rings on, you know, rings on just about every finger. I know my daughter had a ring on every finger. I was like, oh my goodness. But it was just a style thing. So that has not really been investigated yet. But I will tell you that I do see a lot of photographs from the 19th century, even early 20th century, where there are rings on fingers other than ring fingers. I would also wonder whether or not that was what was available, what they could afford. If it was a ring that was passed down in the family, rings have significance to families, and they're something that get passed down from generation to generation. So that can happen. Debbie wrote to me today, and she said that I mentioned photos with a name are less likely to be thrown out. Yes, I do believe that photos with a name are less likely to be thrown out. And so she's trying to identify those pictures. And by doing that, she wants to know what to write on the back with. So I suggest a 6BB, 6B. I'm going to put that in the comments so you know, B or 8B for heritage photos. And if you have a resin coated image, meaning those snapshots from like the 1960s, 70s, they're sort of slippery feeling. They feel like they have plastic on them because they do. Polaroids, for instance, you have trouble writing on those. You want to use something called a photo signature pen. They're quick drying, odorless, all that sort of stuff. And that is what I use to write on my pictures. And I am going through all my photographs again, and not only writing on the back, but I bought some acid and lignin-free cardstock to put behind the images so I can write more stories and things. And then, of course, I'll put that story into the memory web program that I use as well. And what else? What are the, does scalloped or shaped edges help to date a photo? Yes. They do, Letha. They come in style in different times, especially like, so little card photographs had sharp corners and then they had rounded corners. And then in the later half of the 19th century, you start to see more scalloped edges. You start to see other little designs as well, the deckled edge. You see that in 20th century snapshots as well. It's called the deckle edge, that sort of scalloped edge. What else? I have a warning for you, which is I have been working on my family history again because I have two cousins who are asking for information. They really want to pass information on to their descendants, and I'm the keeper of everything. So here's the warning, is if you use an online genealogy database and you come across a record, you know, like a census, not a census record so much because they're widely available, but some other specific type of record, even having to do with your ancestor. It's a very good idea if you're not doing this to download that document to your hard drive and make sure you sync it with your genealogy program, like Family Tree Maker, which syncs to Ancestry, for instance. Because just because that image is there today does not mean it will be there next year. Licensing agreements mean that things get taken down all the time. So it is a very good idea to go through your trees and make sure that you have downloaded all the documents that you've attached to those people so that you have them. Thank goodness I did not learn the hard way. I have been downloading documents. So I'm doing a research log, timeline, downloading all my documents. By the way, anything you download is an image file, so you can use it in a photo organizing program. You can add metadata to it. You can do that in VividPix. You can do that in MemoryWeb. There's lots of programs out there where you can add metadata to your images to do that. So if you have any questions, please send them to me. You can send them to me at my email address, which is photodetective.maureentaylor. There you go. Love to hear your questions. And I'll see you next month.
If you enjoyed this episode, please share it on social media, leave me a rating and a review, and if you know of a friend or family member who's also interested in family photographs, share this episode with them too. See you next time. I'm thrilled to be offering something new. Photo Investigations. These collaborative one-on-one sessions look at your family photos. You and I meet to discuss your mystery images and find out how each clue and hint might contribute to your family history. And trust me, these images can reveal so much in your research. I have decades of experience in the photo, genealogy, and history industries. This is your chance to learn from me and discover the stories in your family images. You can find out more by going to MaureenTaylor.com and clicking on Family Photo Investigations.